Jacoby Brissett on the afternoon show here yesterday. He expects that he will be the starter. Ty Law is here with us on a Ty Tuesday.
Does that sound like a guy that's going to be a great mentor? I mean it.
He was a little bit curt, I guess, is what you're saying.
I thought the whole purpose of Jacoby was that he was happy-go-lucky, supportive guy.
Yeah.
Wolfpack.
I mean, what is Drake May learning by watching him from the sidelines?
What not to do.
Yeah.
I mean, not much, right?
Yeah, you can look at it as what not to do. I mean, I agree with you, Curtis, but, I mean, to see the game when you don't have to move, I mean, you can mentally compartmentalize whatever you need to while watching the game. You're getting the play calls in first, you know, you're understanding it so you can see it. And sometimes you have to see it before you go out there and actually perform. So I like that they did sit him down and didn't throw him into the fire, but now I think it's time. Because when Tom came in, you're playing behind Drew, you know, well-established, face of the team, all-pro quarterback, and you got to develop. Aaron Rodgers got to develop. Unfortunately, he's not getting to develop in these type of quarterbacks, but a veteran presence. You don't have to be an all-pro and to teach you how to be a pro, but now is the time. I think as far as how you carry himself, Jacoby was a guy. He was a good guy. You can look up to him and say he's been around, he's been to a couple teams, fine. But as far as the play on the field, you probably ain't getting too much from that. You ain't getting too motivated from that standpoint. Right. So it's time
his
for
toughness
him to get
is good. Yeah, exactly. I said that the other day.
There is this argument, 508 texter, I hear this from time to time, that putting Drake May in, you're going to have the same mistakes, you're going to have the same result. So what's the point of doing it?
Well, because experience. You might have it's experience. You probably have the same mistakes. You know, who knows? Maybe Drake is able to, you know, elude the rush better because he's a better athlete and he's able to make a play on the move, an off-schedule play with his legs. But he'll learn, that learning experience is valuable. So right. When that situation comes back up, maybe later on in the game,
it's not a shock to the system.
It's not like, oh my God, what do I do here? It's like, oh, I've seen this before.
Right.
You know what? I rolled out and tried to throw across my body. It didn't work. Now I'm in the same situation. Don't do it again.
And you can never, and I think it's time too as well, because you can never really assimilate what it is, the speed of the game, of an actual game. You can go out there to practice all day. You can get all the reps that you want. You can talk about the preseason. Oh, it was a preseason game and let him play the whole game. It's a different ball game when it comes to the regular season. Yeah. That preseason and that training camp, you getting reps, and it's more mental reps than anything, but the speed of the game changes when you actually start playing for real on Sundays. And so he's going to have to get adjusted to the speed of the game because he's not getting that in practice.
No.
This is Steve. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. The only other alternative I think Hunter Henry had was, and it's probably not his DNA as a receiver, where you can attest to that, is to bat the ball down with Adamo forcing him up to try to take a shot at the end zone.
I don't, I mean, even if he were to bat that ball down, I mean, what were there, 2 seconds?
Yeah, they would have had
about 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah. That much, Sean?
That's the only thing he could have done.
Well, it doesn't matter how much time it would have been. It would have been 1 second to actually have a chance to win it. The second he caught it, the game was over.
Yeah, because when he catches it, there's about 6 seconds on the clock. So if he drops it, then you get one shot at the end. But
I want to go back to quickly, though, Wiggy, because we all talk about how this is on the new team and how dumb they are. Do you remember the Thanksgiving Day game against the Vikings? When they had the ball.
When Mac Jones had a pretty good game.
Yep. No, the last play of the game, they threw it to a Patriot who just fell down.
Yeah.
Correct. Who did nothing. And it was Bill Belichick's team, and it was Josh McDaniels was the coordinator, and it was a dumb thing. So, like, we love to pile on Mayo, but if you look at the end of game when Bailey Zappi replaced Mac in Germany, that final drive, he threw a ball to 3 Colts. So, like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
I don't blame Bill, and I don't blame Gerard Mayo. I blame the people that are on the field for being dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb situations. I mean, the biggest one that we remember with Bill is putting Rob Gronkowski out there as a defender when the ball's on, like, their own 30-yard line. It's not one of those plays where they're going to throw it up, and it's a jump ball situation where you would use his height. Now you got him where he's actually has to be a tackler out there, and that was one of those things that kind of backfired on him. I think I put this more on blame, and what we were talking about earlier was the play calling. And if you're in that situation, you either go 4 verticals to the end zone, or you do quick outs, maybe to get you another 5 or 6 yards to make the throw the next play closer to the end zone.
Yeah.
You don't have guys running across the field at different levels and one guy who's barely in the end zone. Just that's stupid.
This is Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
So you guys made a comment about how when, you know, obviously when Bledsoe got injured, Tom Brady went in. And so the difference there, I think, you had Bledsoe with a headset on guiding Tom Brady as he went through that first season. So you're going to have Drake May go in, and you're going to have Jacoby being the one trying to guide him with what he's got.
But I will say this. Sometimes people are better at wearing the headset and telling you what to do than actually going out there doing it. Think about all the coaches that you have. Hell, I ain't had NAM coach other than Herman Edwards that was able to go out there and do what I do and play at the level that I played at.
That's the only one?
I mean, Herman Edwards, that was only coach that I've had. You know what I mean? I know I ain't never seen Bill strap up. I ain't seen no old highlights. You know, I ain't seen Parcells. I ain't seen none of them. So a lot of times you can't say just because he didn't play the game, because think about all the coaches out there. Right. Think about all the coordinators.
Right.
Those were the guys that wasn't the players. They looked at the game differently. They can see it. You know, look at it like a Josh McDaniel. Coaches are coaches. I can see Jacoby like a Dan Orlovsky. You know, he was a good player. You made it to the NFL.
Right.
But you wasn't that great player. You see the game a certain way. So you can probably teach the game better than you can play it. So I don't totally agree. I think that he might be a better
teacher,
mentor and teacher to him by talking to him. You know, on the sidelines telling you this is what you need to do, because he has been around long enough and he has been a pro and a quarterback and a starter. He's just not.
He just don't have a skill set.
He's just not those all pros and that household name. But if you stick around in this league long enough, if you play double digit years, you got a chance to start at the quarterback position. You pretty damn good.
Yeah, and he learned, and he obviously was in the room with Brady. And coaches will always tell you, Ty knows this, there are a few coaches that go, they'll say, hey, listen, I don't get to see the game from inside the helmet like you do. Mm-hmm. But here's what I see from where I'm sitting. But I also realize as a coach, you see the game a lot differently, especially when you've never played, right? So as a coach who's never been in that situation, they don't have that experience to lean on and say, oh, here's what you should do, because I was in a similar situation.
And you gotta
but
think,
how
like,
could Jacoby Brissett be in the league as long as he is?
And he's a backup. Nobody's looking at him to be the starter, though, Greg.
Well,
he's not the franchise quarterback.
He started in Indy for a considerable amount of time.
But I'm saying nobody looked at him
as
that.
How can he not read defenses and see who's open? Like,
that's why he's available for 1 year and $8 million when every good quarterback's getting $200
million. Greg, there are many people that are in the NFL that, like Ty says, when they're on the sidelines or they're in practice, it's much easier to do, but when you get in that actual game and you have to consistently do it at a high level, it's totally different.
Take the flip side of it. Let's say the great players that was hellified players, all pro players, Hall of Fame players. How good did they do at coaching? Let's take the great Michael Jordan. How great did he do as owner? It's a different thing whether you being a coach or whether you being a player. I don't know that many great players that became great coaches. I don't know. I'm talking about head coaches. Somebody like Gerard was a great player. Don't get me wrong, but he wasn't. Nobody looked at him like you were Ray Lewis or played that type of longevity, had that type of success.
There's not a coach that I can remember that has a great coach that
besides Deion Sanders. Now
but I don't even know the jury.
What about a certain coach?
He's doing his thing. You know what I mean? So, you know,
all right, I'll give you Dicker. Huh? I'll get you Mike Dicker. Great tight end, and then was a great coach.
That's
in the NFL,
a Baker Stetson for me, Bobby. Right.
So I'll give you Dicker. The jury's still out on Deion, but yeah, I'll give you Dicker all day.
The Bears.
Time for the most entertaining play of the game, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Any suggestion? I have one.
I got one.
I mean, you love the guys playing defense. I enjoyed Keon White trying to shake the hand of Huntley after batting that ball down.
Yeah.
Almost got the handshake. But what, you have one?
Yeah, I mean, I like, hey, Christian Gonzalez, yeah. when he swooped up under there and picked that off right yeah, there. That was a hell of a play. And I think, like I said, this kid has so much upside.
I was going to ask you about that. What you think he's got huge upside?
He got huge upside. He just got to be more consistent, play with, more confidence and swag. Because when you got out there with a guy like a Tyreek Hill and Jaden Walter, they're going to get theirs too. You're going to get beat. You know what I mean? That's just part of the game in NFL. Some of the top corners, like even Pat Surtain Jr., he's gotten beat. You know what right. I mean? Sauce Gardner has gotten beat. But how are you going to respond? But I think that he could be the next one. He could be the next one.
He's done well against some really good wide receivers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, very well. Now, I would like to see him have that type of performance against a great quarterback. So it's one thing about the wide receiver, but then you got Huntley. It's
Huntley stinks.
Yeah, yeah.
He stinks.
Good confidence booster, but he
then this
stinks.
Week will be a good test against
CJ Stroud.
Same way
about Brock Purdy?
Huh?
Sean's right, though. CJ Stroud this week.
No, but see, Brock Purdy, like I said, I love his story, and it's great what he's doing and what he was able to do. And, no one had many expectations. Right. But now, okay, Brock, you're not a surprise no more.
Right. Everybody knows about
you. Everybody know what you know about you now. What you going to do? You know what I mean?
Gonzalez going to have CJ Stroud and Steph Diggs this week. So this will be a good matchup.
No, this is going to exactly.
And so if he can do it again.
This is going to be the games. Like, I wanted to see him with Tua and Tyreek and those guys to see what he would be able to do. But I still think that he's the next great cornerback. If he can stay healthy, the next great Patriot cornerback. I can see that in him.
Mm. Your boy's still doing it.
So you'll be advising him soon on on his next deal?
Yeah, contract time. Holler at your boy.
Yes. I hope you make a cut.
Curtis, did you have something? I thought I heard you say.
Oh, no. Well, I have the video of the end of the game. Mitch has it if you want to watch it. I mean, this is the best situational coach in the history of the NFL. They're down a touchdown with 20 seconds left. There's a throw. Inbounds. They're tackled. So they have a play here. Mac Jones waving his arms. He gets under center. And you got one play left. And here's the play. He throws it right over the middle, and he falls down. Game over. Now wait for the Mac Jones helmet toss. It was my favorite part. It's coming up right here.
Such a
there it is. And there's Bill.
That was just
he threw it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what an idiot.
What a great end of game call.
You guys thought he was going to be good.
I still can't believe you guys would rather him here right now than have Jacoby Brissett.
God.
And it would be far more entertaining.
Would you take Mac Jones right now over Jacoby Brissett?
Hell no.
Yes, thank you.
I would. Give me Mac. I don't even like the island.
Man,
yeah, I don't like nothing about the island.
I'd take Bailey Zappi over Jacoby.
Well, Mac would be so much more entertaining than Jacoby Brissett. It would be equally as bad.
Jared Stidham over Jacoby Brissett.
Ooh, that'd be fun. I'm into that.
Congratulations to Zappi. He's expecting a baby.
Mac is going to give you something to talk about, some sound. But he going to say something or do something.
But at least Mac was good at one point in time.
He goes,
exactly. His rookie year. Jacoby Brissett has never been good as a starter. When he got his opportunity with the Colts, he did nothing with it. So he's never been good as a starter.
Well, why he keep getting opportunities to start?
Because he hasn't. He hasn't had an opportunity to start since Indy. He's been a backup, and then guys get hurt.
But I'm saying, going back to what we were talking about before, the backup thing, you eventually end up being a coach, but he's good enough to keep a job and make $8 million.
Right, but how that goes.
To be a backup.
He's good enough because the guy that, in Cleveland, the offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, when he was there and, he needed to put him in a pinch, he did good enough for him. So he's probably like, hey, listen, let's take this guy because I think he could do it. But he's somebody that comes in for a game or two max.
Right. So I would take a Wildcat quarterback over Jacoby Brissett. I would take...
Bring back Pat White?
I would take...
Julian Edelman?
Ronnie Brown?
I would take Tom Castellanos, even though he sucked the bed the other day. I would take literally anybody.
Jacoby
Brissett seems like a lovely guy. I'd love to sit next to him at Thanksgiving. I don't want him quarterbacking.
And Ty, come on. How many players we've been in the league with? Yeah. You're like, man, how the hell is this dude still in the league?
Yeah, no. We get all that. We get all that. You know what I mean? But I think when you hold everybody to a standard of the typical starting quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, he was brought in to be a placeholder. That is a true definition of a placeholder, right? Mm-hmm. The future is the number three pick. So guess what? You got to play him at some point. Let him learn. But Jacoby Brissett is never looked at as anyone starting or anyone's future in any organization. He is a viable backup
right.
who happens to start. So now is that yeah. time where you go back to your main job, a viable backup.
Right. It's the same way what the Raiders are doing with Gardner Minshew. They tried it.
Right.
It didn't work. Now they go, what's the kid?
Aiden O'Connell.
Aiden O'Connell. That's what you are. You're a placeholder for four, five, right. six games. And then, all right, now we got to figure out who's next.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Ty Law.
Thank you, man.
Great to see you.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Coming up on Wednesday, November 20th, it is the third annual Ty Law 24 Lanes bowling event at Apex. To benefit the Greg Hill Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
We have teams available. Bring your shoes. Carry your own balls and join us.
Yes.
And we'll raise some money.
We're going to raise some money.
We have a great night. Ty is pouring Corvus like there's an endless supply.
Yeah, we going to drink. Y'all got to just let me. I go to every lane and just let me roll one down there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give me a couple strikes.
Yeah.
You know, but we're going to have a good time, it's for a good cause. So sign up now, man. It should be no more sign-ups within the next week or so, man.
Right.
We want everybody to sign up, man. So
I'm go-karting this year for sure.
Yeah,
we should have just
race.
One race, just us right here.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm with that.
Okay.
Oh, a show go-kart race?
Yeah, show go-kart race.
I don't know. I have a tattoo. You ain't first, you're last.
Oh, I tell you what. I ain't coming in dead ass now. I'm going to cut somebody off. I got a rule. I don't care what I'm doing.
Right.
I am not coming in
last. And it's a good course, too, with the good go-karts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's
y'all know I got
the helmets.
Yeah. We got a 24 cart there now. Shout out to my man George there at Apex. Yeah. But, hey, the Corvus car 24?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's mine now. Okay. Don't y'all sit your ass in my car.
I only have a shot if we do it 2 hours into the night.
don't drink and drive.
You put a team together of five.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great event. Like, if you want to entertain clients, it's a great event to do that.
Man.
Bring your customers.
And Apex is such a great atmosphere, just overall.
Food is great. The bowling's great.
And Ty's really out there with everybody.
Yes, he is.
Like,
yes,
you take the time to talk to everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's Jay Leno-like when it comes to mingling.
That
with
he is.
Not an ass.
Right. Yes. Greg has the security team, though.
Yes, that's correct. What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of driving things. How was the vehicle that you finally drove away from the Newport show?
Peep that wig.
Man, the 2024 GT Continental Sports Edition starting ticket.
From Bentley.
Bentley. Starting price, $300,000.
Damn.
Man, let me tell you something. That thing was so smooth. They pulled up in the Rolls Royce Cullinan, which is the SUV.
Right.
That's the one I drove.
And
I drove a different Rolls Royce.
No, you drove the
Shadow. Oh, he did.
It was the SUV.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has the stars. On,
yeah, yeah.
On
I was.
Ceiling.
Oh. I was.
It was great.
Yeah.
Were you nervous?
Not really. No.
Were you?
I'm an excellent driver.
Nervous about what?
Driving.
No, why? I've been driving for 40 years. I don't know how long it's been. I've been driving.
$300,000 car. I'd be scared.
So what? I mean, they got insurance. That's what it's for. It was beautiful, though. And they have this thing because it's a hybrid.
GPS?
No, not GPS. But they have this, like, it can go from the silent mode of a hybrid where you don't hear it, or they turn it to a sports mode and you get that roar of the sports car engine.
The Wi-Fi access.
that's a new one right there. I never heard that one. That's sweet.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
Beautiful. And it was like this color green with this gray interior. It had the carbon fiber on it. Oh, man.
Hey, beautiful. I did notice a little something. When you got up in there, you struggled a little bit there, Wiggy.
Yeah, it's slow. I did.
You got in there kind of slow, and I heard it.
You know how
that little grunt.
You know how them sports cars are. They low to the ground, so my knees and my back ain't the same.
Right.
So things were creaking that shouldn't be creaking.
No, they've been creaking for a long time, Greg.
Hey, I'm no SUV now. Like, even the sports cars, I used to be really into cars, but I can't do it no more. I want to step up in my truck, man. I don't even want to get into no. I don't even like getting into a car no more.
That one ain't that bad, though.
We have audio from the crowd when you were getting into the Bentley GT, if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Okay.
Are you going to die?
Yeah. All right.
Wiggy's driving a nice car right now, though. That
all right, Ty. Great to
see
you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming by.
I'll see you next week.
Every Tuesday on this show. And right now, Courtney and What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now. now brought to you by Shaw's. The Chiefs beat the Saints in Monday Night Football. 26-13 was the final. Patrick Mahomes completed 28 of 39 passes for 331 yards and an interception. On the other side, Derek Carr went out with an oblique injury. He is set to undergo an MRI today. In an update on Rashee Rice, he needs an LCL repair. He's expected to miss the rest of the season. The Bruins kick off their season tonight in Florida against the Panthers. Puck drop is at 7. Jeremy Swayman has signed on the dotted line with the Bruins, but he did miss all of training camp, so fans weren't expecting to see him in goal for tonight. But Jim Montgomery, talked to reporters yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know. He's a potential goalie tomorrow night.
That's
undecided. We're undecided.
Today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deals. Today's daily deal is sensational ready meal salads for $6.99 each. That's right. Ready meal salads are $6.99 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 52 degrees, sunny skies in Boston, afternoon high of 63.